From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. And on this day, we'll look at the huge collection of bills that we know almost nothing about that the legislature will take up this session, and the uproar over Senator Susan Collins' support of Senator Jeff Sessions for Attorney General. That's all ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their communities.
Well, the list of bill titles for the new legislature is out, and as usual, it's interesting. Thanks to a rule that says most bills the legislature will take up during the session had to be in by December 30th, there are more than 1,800 placeholder bills, just titles, that the legislature's information office released yesterday. The bills come from members of the legislature, and they cover a wide range of topics, including health care, voting, taxation, finances, and less typical things like hedgehog licensing and circus elephants. To possibly shed a little light on the situation, our Augusta correspondent Steve Missler joins me now. Steve, what can you tell me about the bill titles?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of them, but that's pretty normal. The first session of the legislature is usually the busiest and the longest. And it's about 6 months, maybe longer. So it's pretty common to have close to 2,000 bills during the course of the very first session. We're not there yet, but there's still plenty of time to add more, including proposals from Governor Paula Page, who can submit a bill at any time while the legislature is in session. And it's important to note that what we have right now are just titles. There's a lot of language that hasn't been drafted for these yet, or it just isn't public. So in some instances, we're just speculating about what these bills will actually do. And that's an important caveat because, as we've seen in the past, a title sometimes tells us very little about the actual bill.
Examples?
Yes, from the Department of the Vague and Unknown, we have an act to regarding Maine courts. I have no idea what that is. Then there's the Act to Protect Rights and Privileges under the U.S. Constitution. Which rights? Free speech? Right to bear arms? Who knows?
Okay, so let's stick with what we might know about some of them.
Good idea. Do you want to start with the oddball bills or the serious ones?
Oddballs.
All right. So we have Senator Eric Brakey from Auburn, who wants to allow Mainers to keep unlicensed hedgehogs as pets. That's right, hedgehogs, which are arguably cuter than a porcupine, but just as prickly. Apparently, you currently need to pay $50 to own one of these things, which Brakey says is the same price you'd have to pay to own a tiger in Maine. And I don't know why anybody would want to do that. But anyway, Brakey wants to get rid of the fee for hedgehogs, although it might be wise to keep the fee for the tiger, you know, as a deterrent. Staying on the subject of wildlife, a Republican lawmaker from Standish wants to allow spearfishing for northern pike in Sebago Lake. Now, having caught a few pike with a traditional fishing pole, I'm willing to bet that hunting these things down in Sebago is going to be a bit of a challenge. And then we have Larry Lockman, who is a representative from Amherst, who has submitted a bill that will protect political speech by preventing climate change profiling. Those are his words. Again, we don't know the substance of Lockman's bill. I looked it up in climate change profiling to see if climate change profiling is a thing, but I came up empty. But what we do know is there are conservatives who don't believe in the science of climate change. So perhaps Lockman believes that these so-called climate deniers are persecuted and need special protections. And then we have another lawmaker who would allow farms that slaughter fewer than 1,000 rabbits a year to sell them to farmers markets or restaurants. And yet there's another lawmaker that wants to prohibit elephants from appearing in traveling acts such as a circus. And there's a lot more where those bills came from.
So, yeah, elephants, hedgehogs, fishing, that's already quite a list. But what are some of the more conventional things?
So there's a lot to talk about here. But broadly speaking, this legislature is going to spend a lot of time on the opioid crisis, education funding, student debt, solar energy, welfare, expanding broadband access to rural areas, and marijuana. Let's just go to marijuana real quick because that was question one, which voters narrowly approved in November. And there's dozens of bills that are a response to the passage of question one. The title suggests lawmakers want to do a lot of tinkering with this law, which is interesting since it's the legislature's unwillingness to deal with legal pot in the first place that ended up putting this issue to voters. So there's a bill to repeal legislation, which is highly unlikely to pass. And there are others that deal with delaying enactment of the law, licensing requirements, and even creating setbacks for churches and schools. This is expected. After all, when Colorado legalized pot 3 years ago, the legislature there passed 80 bills to amend the law, and that was just in the first year after legalization. And there are dozens of bills that attempt to tackle the opioid crisis, which drove a record 280 overdose deaths just last year. The focus this year appears to be on treatment and rescue. On the education front, there are a bunch of bills that would change how local education funding is distributed to towns and school districts. And another big issue this year is student debt. There are a lot of bills that attempt to reduce or forgive college loan payments, which we know is a big issue for Maine families.
Now, I know from the recent past that some legislators submit more bills than others. Do we have a winner this year?
Well, this is just from some quick math, but I'm pretty sure it's Senator Choi Jackson, the Democratic minority leader in the Senate. Jackson has submitted over 40 bills this session. Now, that sounds like a lot, but he has some company. Republican Eric Brakey, he's the one who submitted the hedgehog bill, has nearly as many, as close to 40, just over 35. And House Speaker Sarah Gideon has also close to 40 bills.
Okay, well, Steve, have fun reading all these bills as they come out. And thank you.
Thank you.
Maine Senator Susan Collins is in the spotlight this week, taking the lead in support of Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination to be U.S. Attorney General. Protests against Collins erupted today in Washington and at home in Maine, and not just over the AG nomination. Fred Bever has our story.
It's proven to be a pretty busy week for Senator Susan Collins' staff in Maine. On Monday, well over 100 protesters showed up at her Portland and Augusta offices, calling on her to oppose Trump cabinet picks who deny climate change is driven by human activity. And on Tuesday morning, several dozen more fanned out to Collins' offices around the state, this time to protest her active support for Sessions.
I'm stunned and so disappointed that Susan Collins is not just supporting him, but introducing him.
Dana Bateman, a Brunswick educator, was one of about 40 who gathered in a downtown Portland square before heading to Collins' eighth-floor office. Bateman says she's an unenrolled voter who appreciated Collins' outspokenness against Trump and who has voted for Collins in the past. But she won't again, she says, because of Sessions' positions that run counter to her own.
I've been calling and asking her, how do you say he's a man of integrity? Those are her words, when he is known to be anti-immigrant, anti-woman, anti-choice, and racist. I haven't gotten an answer. I'm hoping to get one today.
The protests also followed Collins to Capitol Hill, where she introduced Sessions to the Senate Judiciary Committee, or tried to.
I am pleased to join Senator Shelby in presenting my friend and colleague, Senator Jeff Sessions, and to offer my support for his nomination to be our next Attorney General.
Once that protester was ejected, Collins went on to defend Sessions against charges of racism and untrustworthiness. Emphasizing that Sessions is a close personal friend, Collins pointed to his history of supporting African Americans' admittance to social clubs and to the ranks of congressional staff, along with his work to convict two members of the Ku Klux Klan who'd murdered a black Alabama teenager.
These are not the actions of an individual who is motivated by racial animus. In spite of this strong record, Senator Sessions' nomination has generated controversy. He has had to withstand some very painful attacks on his characters, both years ago and again today.
Critics back in Maine were unmoved. Karen Mary's daughter was one of about two dozen protesters who marched to Collins' office in Bangor.
I think that she's been a thoughtful senator for the state of Maine. She really likes to take her time to vet people, so I'm extremely surprised that she would support any kind of fast-tracking, which is going on right now.
And while protesters say they hope Maine voters will make Collins pay for her support of Sessions, some observers say that's pretty unlikely.
Will it cost her a few votes? Yeah, but I'd definitely put the emphasis on few, probably very few.
Mark Brewer teaches political science at the University of Maine. He says Collins has gained influence in the Senate this year, where the Republican majority is smaller than last year, and that her position in Maine is about as safe as they come.
If you're going to see a mass change of opinion on a politician as well liked as Susan Collins, I suspect it's going to take far more than a cabinet secretary nomination.
Still, the contention over Sessions is fierce, with opponents taking credit for overwhelming Collins' telephone lines in Maine, and the Maine Republican Party fighting back by urging its troops to make their own calls to Collins in support of Trump's nominee. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
Meanwhile, Maine Independent Senator Angus King announced he will support legislation allowing retired General James Mattis to serve as Secretary of Defense. A key hurdle facing Mattis's nomination is a law that requires a general or admiral to be out of the military for at least 7 years before being eligible to serve in that position. Mattis has been retired for only 3 years. Both the House and Senate need to pass a waiver to allow him to serve. During a hearing of the Senate Armed Services Committee, King announced he will support the measure.
This section applies only to the first person appointed as Secretary of Defense as described in subsection A after the date of this act and to no other person. That means it can't even be used by another appointment of this president.
Several Democratic members of the House and Senate have announced they will oppose the legislation because they're worried about erosion of civilian control of the military. King says he shares that concern, but the proposed legislation is narrowly crafted to apply only to Mattis and not to future nominees. And that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, January 10th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin, Mal Leary, and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.